It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Here's the deal. 7 o'clock.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's time for 92.9 The Game Tonight.
For the next hour, tune in or listen on the Odyssey app.
As we get you caught up with all things Atlanta sports and beyond.
We're going up tonight.
Turn up, bro. Like I say, just turn up and listen, you know?
That's the way to lead the show.
It's 92.9 The Game Tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome in to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game Tonight. It has been a little while since I've been joining all of you fine people in the evenings, but I am happy to be here. It is Abe Gordon live in the Kia studios, and boy, oh boy, we're about to talk quite a bit about something that didn't happen today. And there's just no way to avoid some of the thoughts and discussions about what's been going on there at Flowery Branch. And we're going to work our way through it. I don't know about you guys. Maybe everyone else is a little more understanding. And we're going to try and break it down from the actual standpoint of why nothing happened with the Atlanta Falcons today. But I'm also going to allow some emotional standpoints of I'm pretty frustrated that nothing happened with the Atlanta Falcons. And I'm having to gauge it myself and play a little bit of both sides. And maybe you say that's unfair. I think I understand why they didn't make a move. From pulling back and looking at things in one light. At the same time, as a fan, I don't understand why they didn't make a move. And so there's a little bit of meshing, a little bit of judgment in some of the discussions that we're going to have today. But quite frankly, we have to have them. And I'm happy to have them with you. And so throughout the show today, if you want to chat about the Atlanta Falcons' decision not to add anyone at today's 4 p.m. trade deadline. 404-726-0929. If you think you have a reason and understanding of why no one was added, feel free to join on. If you just want to express frustration at watching certain teams add while the Atlanta Falcons did nothing, you can do that as well. 404-726-0929. And one of the questions in general is this team, this franchise, the front office, the coaching staff, are you viewing them in a more negative light today? And the same question in terms of the Falcons' ceiling. Is the ceiling a little bit more negative today than what we potentially thought it could be if they had done something? Well, we'll work our way through it as we continue the show. We're not just going to talk about the Atlanta Falcons, although we'll see. Maybe it ends up that way. Now, I do have a couple of guests, and so it definitely won't just be Atlanta Falcons, but I certainly want to get into what's going on there at UGA because there is a quarterback problem that the head coach seems reliant, resistant to change that. And we got to work our way through and figure out why, because there is a game on Saturday that you can lose. And we're going to be quite honest, you probably weren't losing to Florida, even with three interceptions. You certainly weren't losing to Florida when they were down to a walk-on quarterback from Yale. But what is going on with Carson Beck? We'll talk about that over the course of the show as well. A couple other college football discussions coming your way, because the college football playoffs, the rankings are coming out as we speak right now. I'm waiting to see the debut edition of the college football playoff rankings. I don't even know the true format, if they're going to do it by seeding, which would require obviously certain teams that might be ranked higher to be seeded lower because of the format of conference champions and all that, or if they're just doing pure rankings right now. We'll keep an eye on that. We'll discuss that. Joining me later in the show to discuss that and more in the world of college football is my buddy John Bryce. We talked to him a couple of months ago maybe week two or week three of the season, had a great discussion. And so I want to reset that with him today. We'll talk to him about Carson Beck and certainly what happens with the rankings today as well, along with some other storylines going on in college football. At 8:40, Caleb Johnson is going to join us. 92.9 The Game Atlanta Hawks reporter. You've heard him recently on the pregame and postgame as well for the Atlanta Hawks. It's easy for the Hawks to get buried with what's going on, just in general. Football season in general, but certainly at the trade deadline, college football, and all the other stuff that is going on. I just want to catch up with Caleb and just see what we're doing. Already eight games in. It feels like opening night was just the other day. But now, I mean, to be fair, I did miss a week on a cruise. The Hawks were cruising when I left. Not, pardon the pun, I guess, but they were feeling pretty good when I left. I get back, I'm like, oh, man, I don't think they've won a game since. And so we'll try and gauge with Caleb what's going on with the Atlanta Hawks. But right now, it is about the Atlanta Falcons. So let's go ahead and start there. And certainly, you were listening to Dukes and Bell. You've heard them mention it. You know, the tough part for the earlier shows is there was still potential of something happen, right? Andy and Randy got stuck talking about, hey, still got 2 hours. Maybe a deal gets done. And so they don't really react, right? Steakhouse 2, morning shift as well. They don't really react with the knowledge of nothing got done today. Your team did not get better while the teams you are playing did. And so there's going to be a lot more of this reaction tomorrow. I feel kind of lucky that I know Dukes and Bell got a couple hours of it, but I'm really the second one on here that's going to say, hey, what the heck was going on today, man? Like, how do we not get better? What are we trying to say about the state of this team right now? Because I really did not think they were going to sit still. Now, the NFL trade deadline is not necessarily the NBA or MLB trade deadline where any team remotely close is adding. Certainly not baseball, because baseball's just a nonsense postseason where if you get hot at the right time, then you can go get it done. And so any team that theoretically can make the playoffs can win the World Series. I don't feel that way about the Super Bowl. Not every team that makes the playoffs has a real shot to win the Super Bowl. Sorry, Dom, with your Steelers shirt. You might be in that group. We'll find out. We'll talk our way through that when we go outside the perimeter, because the Steelers have actually made a couple of additions to improve their ball club, and we'll talk about that. Again, back to the Falcons, they didn't. They didn't make a single addition today to improve their ball club. Now, before it really got started today, I guess it was overnight, early this morning. I don't remember when I saw it. I have some insomnia issues going on. It happened, though. The Lions added Za'Darius Smith from the Browns for a fifth-rounder. Now, we saw a fifth-rounder here in Atlanta, and we're like, all right, like, what is – we're going to focus on Azeez Ojulari. That's been the name that has been most tightly attached, really the only name that was realistically attached with the Atlanta Falcons. So we're going to focus on Ojulari. Za'Darius Smith goes from the Browns to the Lions for a fifth-rounder. I'm like, all right, what's Ojulari going to cost? Like, is he just a fifth? I mean, I don't know what leverage the Giants have, with a caveat, because he's a free agent in the offseason. Maybe the Falcons didn't want to part with a draft pick for a guy that they may not bring back. But at the same time, the Giants don't have any leverage. The Giants are not winning the Super Bowl this year. You would have thought they would have wanted to get something out of it. Now, the other side of this theory is maybe they're working on an in-season extension for Ojulari, and that's why they weren't willing to part, certainly not with what it cost to get Za'Darius Smith, a fifth rounder. I saw at one point that they had been asking for as high as a second rounder. I had seen at one point that they were asking for as low as a fifth rounder. I saw that there were conversations that he was not even really available. But again, the Giants have zero leverage. They get nothing, and they will like it if they do not extend him in season. So that was the guy a lot of people were focused on. Even before Za'Darius Smith was going, it seemed like Ojulari was the guy a lot of people were looking at. And that was that. Again, very frustrating day for me as a fan. I wanted this team to try something, to go after it a little bit. And I'm not saying you're not giving a guy a max deal and bringing him in for a package of first rounders, but you're talking about mid-round picks. I wanted them to go after someone, and they did not, and I'm pretty frustrated. But I don't really like using this word to describe myself, but the analyst in me, if you want to call it that, like to try and look at why they didn't do anything today with a clear and level head, I came up with a reason. I came up with it's not an excuse. It's maybe this team's mindset. It's maybe their plan. It's not going to make you feel any better. It's certainly not going to do that because it doesn't do that for me. But if you're looking for a reason why, here's why. And then we're going to get some phone calls because, again, I am frustrated. 404-726-0929. If you agree with my reason, if you have a reason of your own as to why they didn't do a move, 404-726-0929, or straightforward, because I'm going to continue to do it. If you just want to express frustration, because I got a lot more to say, if you just want to express frustration, you can call us up at the same time, 404-726-0929. All right. Here's my reason that's not going to make you feel any better, but maybe it makes you think a little bit. It was my opinion at the time in the draft that the Falcons showed when they drafted Michael Penix after adding Kirk Cousins that they are not going all in on a, quote, one or two or a three-year window. They're hoping to extend the window well beyond just Kirk Cousins' time here. So with the mindset in the draft that they were not going all in this season, you're only going to extend that window. You're only going to extend well beyond Kirk Cousins' time here if you keep assets and continue to add talent. All right? And so, was this just because a lot of people are going to say, well, they didn't trade for anyone because they didn't think they could win this year. And maybe that's partially true, and that's part of the frustration. But they also can't necessarily open up and extend their window by trading for a guy, losing the draft pick, and then having that guy leave. Now you really are working on a real tight window. I think this, the lack of movement, was about not sacrificing the future for an all-in move. And I think we've seen that time and time again based on having Michael Penix on the roster when you already had Kirk Cousins. Now, the opposing view of that would say, well, then why'd you add Justin Simmons? Why did you get Matthew Judon? Why did you make moves that looks like you're all-in this season to then not be all-in this season? I don't have an answer for that, man. I don't. And it's a fair question. Again, I'm frustrated. I'm not trying to explain why. I'm just trying to reason as to the potential ideas from the front office because I wanted them to make a move. And look, there's also a world where just the Giants, as one report had said, were just not going to part with Ojulari. And if that's the case, because almost every Falcons discussion we're having tonight regarding the trade deadline is about Ojulari. Like, there was just no one else linked. No one. Maybe they should have been in on Za'Darius Smith more than they were, but that wasn't the case. NFL Network right now talking about the Giants and Azeez Ojulari not being moved at the deadline, and a lot of that has to do with the Atlanta Falcons. Again, I got a lot more to say on this because there are other contenders in the NFC that got better today, and you did not join them. These are teams that you need to face up in the playoffs, and one of these in the regular season. You're going to have to deal with them. And they got better, and you didn't. What does that say about the Atlanta Falcons? What does that say about the front office, the mindset and mantra of this team right now? And also, what does it say about the future? Because I think it says more about the future than the right now. I think it says they're trying to make sure this is a long window. They are not prepared to trade assets for a completely all-in maneuver, which Azeez Ojulari, without a contract next year, would be an all-in maneuver. We're also keeping an eye on the college football playoffs. The first number in the first round has been released. Boise State, a 12 seed. We'll see if they're the only group of five in this thing. We'll keep an eye on that. I know the conference champ will be in there, but we'll figure this out. Anyways, as we continue, Bama with an 11 seed. We'll keep an eye on this, but I got more to say about the Atlanta Falcons, and I know you do as well. Your phone call's on the other side, 404-726-0929. It is 92.9 The Game tonight on a day where the Falcons just watched the TV. That's what I'm doing now, too, actually, but that's all right. We're going to talk about it on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Rock this place out every night.
Talking Atlanta sports at night. This is 92.9 The Game tonight.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game here in the great city of Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Abe Gordon here, taking you all the way to 10 o'clock, and we've got a lot of stuff still to get to. Working our way through the college football playoff. I had 12 teams listed on my rankings. I got the 12 teams right. Seeding was a little different. Now, they are seeding these teams. I didn't know if they were going to rank them and then seed them on the back end or go seeding. BYU is 4 right now, and they are seeding them. BYU would be the 4th highest ranked conference champion in their projections, and so BYU is 4. Ahead of Texas, ahead of Alabama, ahead of Tennessee, Indiana, all that stuff. Everything else, as you might expect, Georgia 2, Miami 3, and Oregon will be 4. We'll get to that a little bit later. We're still talking about the Atlanta Falcons and what happened today, or what didn't happen today, more like it, and how you guys are feeling about it. Again, I think I understand why. But that doesn't make it any less frustrating as a fan because I did want them to make maneuvers. I did want them to get better. I did want them to go for it. And I sit there and watch the Commanders, a surprise team out of the East, make a move for a legitimate top-ranked corner. That's going for it. I sit there and watch the Lions, who lost Aiden Hutchinson a couple of weeks ago due to injury. One of the biggest pieces of their puzzle, out for the year. And you question, would they go for it? They went for it. And the Atlanta Falcons, who I want to believe are in the discussion with those two teams, along with the others, did nothing. And it makes me quite frustrated as a fan, even if I maybe can find some ways to explain it. What about you? How do you feel? 404-726-0929. Eddie is our first caller tonight and hanging out in Decatur. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, man, what's going on, man? Always good to hear your voice, man. Hey, so I watched the Steelers and the Lions add pass rushers. Am I right? The Steelers add a pass rusher, too, I think.
Yeah.
And I just can't reconcile why we wouldn't. You know, even the guy from Green Bay, I think somebody pick him up. This frustrates me. I thought we were all in. I don't think we are now. I don't know I really don't know where we are and what this front office is doing.
Right.
I'm not sure if they just saw the last game and said we got 3 sacks and we got a chance. I don't know, man. And I'm just really, really wanting to know what happened. Here's my question. Do you think that we will get an explanation? Do you think
absolutely
Kerry
not.
We'll have a press conference? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, look, maybe reports come out that are more substantial from the Giants that say he was never really available, and maybe that's as close as we can get to an explanation. Look, there's coach speak and there's GM speak, right, Eddie? Like Terry's going to come out and talk about – in using his words, the price tag and the fit and different things. But you're not going to get a straight up, explanation, directive of what you want to hear. That unfortunately, that's not the case. Now, here's the thing that is frustrating, and I think Eddie brought it up. Are we all in? Are we not? What are we doing? And I said this, and again, this to me reeks of the same decision-making that led you to drafting Michael Penix. And it doesn't mean it's a bad call. What it tells me, though, is you're trying to do both, and I don't know if it works that way. You are trying to win now, but you're also trying to keep a window that extends beyond just year two of Kirk Cousins. I don't know if it works either way. You might lose both of those bets. For all I know, you could win both those bets. Like, it's not impossible for the Atlanta Falcons to still win the Super Bowl without acquiring someone at the trade deadline. Let's not pretend I'm sitting here burying the team. Am I frustrated? Yes. Am I also still optimistic? Sure. They found a way to get three last week. Maybe they'll figure some things out. I think just like we've seen offenses get hot in the NFL, I think there is a real possibility that defenses just get hot. At the right time, guys make plays. Who knows? And so it's not out of the realm of possibilities that the Atlanta Falcons still win the Super Bowl. But it also feels like, and this is why I correlate the Michael Penix draft pick with inaction today. They are not willing to sell the future for the 1 year or 2 year window. They need to have assets to continue to build when Michael Penix takes over this team. And that's what the decision today came from. That's my opinion. That's just my thought process. That's me trying to find a reasonable way to explain it. And again, it really might be as simple as we called the Giants, here's our offer, and they said, there's no offer that's making us part with Azeez Ojulari. And then there's no place for the Falcons to go anyways, right? Like, we're all approaching it as the Falcons didn't make the deal. They didn't put in the offers necessary. Like, it might not have been about that. I mean, it takes two to tango, right? This isn't the ESPN draft bit where, like, every trade gets rejected or declined, but it's about, like, we're open to offers no matter what. It's not like that in the real world. And so maybe we'll find out more. I saw one report that said the Giants were never placing Ojulari on the table. I saw multiple other reports of variety and price tags. And so I don't know what the actual situation was. Maybe we find out in the next couple of days. I'd love Terry to come out and be like, hey, man, the teams weren't playing ball with us. You know, guys don't really throw teams under the, they don't really talk that way, but I wouldn't mind it. What are you trying to protect a future job with the Giants? We don't care about them. They don't care about them. Still running Daniel Jones out there. They clearly don't care about themselves. Anyways, let's continue on the phones. Boogie is in Atlanta. What's up, Boogie?
What's up? Hey, man, I think the guys that was on the trading block looked at these teams that needed pass rushers and decided to go somewhere else. That's what I think. And if that's the case, I think Raheem is going to have these boys jacked up you guys didn't want to come here. We'll win by, what we got in the building. That's my whole perception of it. I'm going to hang up and let you guys.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Here's the other aspect of this. Would it have felt differently? Would it have gone differently if it was another zero sack week? You got three of them things. And look, three is not six or seven. I'd like to know how many teams in NFL history got back-to-back sacks and then only one more the entire rest of the game. But three is not nothing. And is there belief that maybe they've stumbled on, not even stumbled, that's not the right term, that decries a manner of they don't know what they're doing and it just happened. Have they figured out a couple of things? Because I don't want to take away from coaching and scouting to say stumbled. That's not the right term. But have they figured some stuff out that maybe they think they can repeat? Maybe they think is workable in multiple games as we continue? I find it real tough to believe that because of one three-sack game, they're like, we got what we need in the building.
We figured it out now.
We're good. Got it. Like, I don't think it was the Giants calling us and be like, You guys want to talk about Ojulari?
You guys want
And then Terry said, I don't know, man. We got three last week. I think we're good here. It didn't go down like that. Boy, you better not let that report come out. let me find that out.
We're going to find out in 2 days.
No, exactly look, very clearly that didn't happen. I am... The one thing I am comfortable saying without any real knowledge is that Terry Fontenot is continually trying to improve this team. And something got in the way of that today. Maybe it was the Giants' inactivity and willingness to participate in discussions. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it was hesitancy, and I've said this before, maybe it was hesitancy to part with assets that would limit your ability to keep a winning window open. And that's kind of where I fall. And I'd probably feel differently if the draft had gone differently. But it's really when I sat down and thought about it, it did remind me of the reaction after the draft. How could we not add so-and-so? So-and-so being Dallas Turner, Jared Versh, Laiatu Latu, a pass rusher. How could we not add that guy after we add Kirk Cousins? Why are we not going all in, right? That was the discussion. Now, there were other discussions because there was plenty of discussion about Michael Penix, his ability to succeed in this league, the timeline. Like, I understand that wasn't the only discussion. But one of the discussions was how could we not go all in, right? You brought Kirk Cousins to win, go all in behind him. And I would argue you didn't do that. You're trying to still do that in a variety of ways, but you didn't really go all in, right? That was the discussion. And I think it's a lot of that today. That's how I looked at it was, okay, when you sat back and you say you didn't go all in at the draft and you take Michael Penix, why are you not going all in? And the best argument I had was you're not playing on a two-year window. You're trying to extend that window. I would honestly throw out the same excuse or answer or response today. Why did you not part with whatever draft picks necessary? And a lot of people say, I don't care if it's a second rounder. I don't care if it's a third rounder. Why did you not part with whatever was necessary to get Azeez Ojulari? And again, that's the guy we're focusing on. Maybe there were other names. It doesn't appear so. Why would you not? And I would say it's the same reason. We're not going to go, quote, all in this year at the expense of lengthening the winning window in year three, year four, year five of Raheem Morris, and whatever year that would be of Penix. I don't know if that's year one, year two, year three. That timeline's its own discussion. That would be my response. I think they want to play a little bit of both sides. Do they want to win now? Yes. Everyone wants to. Are they going to sacrifice the future the way other teams maybe have to push all of it in? It appears the answer is no. And some teams are in positions where they know their window is going to close. The Atlanta Falcons are not in that position. We got Coleman in Winder. Final call of this segment. What's going on, Coleman?
Yes, I'm glad I'm the final caller. Hey, Abe, I like you. I listen to you all the time and I listen to everybody. And I am not worried about nothing. The defense looks like they're coming together, like you said. So, and we don't want to, you know, dip our toes into where we don't in some water we don't want we don't know about. So here's the thing, they're like at my job and everybody they're like, oh, you can't beat Detroit and this. I'm like, okay, even though we don't play them in the season, we'll see them in the playoffs. I guess I'm going for Super Bowl. If the Chiefs or Ravens on the other side, I'm not worried about them. But our window is a couple of Super Bowls. I want one with Kirk and Penix. So, Abe, you have a great night, and I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And look, that's what I had said, too. Like not making a trade today, like, that doesn't mean you can't beat Detroit, can't beat Washington, can't win a Super Bowl. You might need a little bit more things to go right, but you have plenty of season to figure those things out. And maybe they can get more of a pass rush in the coming weeks than what we've had in the first half of this season. Doesn't mean you can't win a Super Bowl. I will stand by that. I'm still optimistic. I think this offense can compete with any offense in the NFL. And if they have a good day, which, again, unfortunately, that might be what you're hoping for. I'm not going to sit here and say you're better than certain teams. But on any given, that's what they say, right? Any given Sunday, even though some of the playoff games are on Saturdays, on any given Sunday, that Atlanta Falcons team is going to be capable of beating any team in the NFL. I believe that. I'm not saying every Sunday, but on a given Sunday, absolutely. And so not doing something today doesn't mean the only teams from the NFC that can win a title are the Commanders and the Lions. No, it doesn't mean that. You could too. It might be a tougher sell for a lot of people, and I'm frustrated. I hope you could tell I am frustrated while trying to reason this thing out. But I'm also remaining optimistic. There's no doubt about that. All right, we're going to continue the conversation. Also take a look at the college football playoff and the rankings that have just come out over the course of the next segment. Keep it locked right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When we get back, Jordan's going to chat, and if you want to get in line as well, 404-726-0929. I'm frustrated, but I'm trying to be understanding. The Falcons make no moves at the NFL trade deadline. More discussion coming up. It's Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Pace yourselves. It's going to be a crazy night.
This is 92.9 The Game tonight
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in. 92.9 The Game. Abe Gordon here. On the NFL trade deadline day, but also on the day in which the college football playoff rankings, the official committee has met and put together their rankings. The first bracket is out. Certainly it will change. There's no doubt about that. But it is out. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But continuing on the Atlanta Falcons inactivity from today, Jordan is hanging out with us, wants to get, I'm guessing, maybe a little bit of frustration, a little bit of reasoning, a little bit of questioning out. And we're going to give him the opportunity to do that right now. What's going on, Jordan? Jordan, are you there?
He got stage fright and dropped.
That's all good. I had answers, too. I was ready for him. So let's continue real quick with more Falcons thought, and we'll just kind of bump some of these other discussions back a little bit. Because I do want to get to Kirby at some point and the Carson Beck situation. We will get to maybe we won't get to all this. I knew this was going to be a problem because I was writing it down, and I'm like, man, I got to come out hot and heavy on Falcons. There's no doubt about that. But, I mean, we have to have the Carson Beck conversation, don't we? But, like, it's also the college football playoffs. And, like, look, let's be honest. I can run through the college football playoff rankings in 3 minutes, 2 minutes, and then move on. And that's probably what eventually we will end up doing. But a lot to talk about. So one of the other questions I have about today is, and I know this has been discussed a little bit. We're talking about adding games to the schedule, stuff like that. We've added a week. We've added an extra playoff spot in recent years. Does the NFL trade deadline need to be pushed back a week or two? It used to be a 16-game schedule with two wild cards. Now it's a 17-game schedule with three wild cards, right? We've added aspects that have allowed more teams to believe they are still alive later in the season. Teams think they can make a run. And when it really comes down to it, we just don't have as many sellers as you probably should. And if you bumped it back a week, if you bumped it back 2 weeks, I think a lot of these teams that are either standing pat or, believe it or not, are buyers might turn into sellers. I mean, look, you look at the Jets, the Giants, the Titans, the Saints, the Patriots, the Jaguars, the Raiders, and Panthers. Those are your sellers. Although, I know I had the Giants on that list, and they didn't. But, and I know the Jets, obviously the Jets can't be sellers because of what they've essentially made themselves out to be. But at the same time, and I know they traded Mike Williams, that was a depth thing and whatever after acquiring Devontae Adams. But, like, at the same time, like, they probably should be sellers. They're certainly not buyers. But that's that. Should the Dolphins be sellers? Right? Like, that's a team record-wise. And again, this is why pushing it back would have a big difference. The Dolphins should be sellers, but because of what they believe their season can be, they just got Tua back healthy. They're still relatively healthy in terms of their offensive components. Should the Dolphins be sellers? Now, what about the Browns? I think we saw the Browns are probably in that seller category. I think we saw that. What are the Cowboys doing? Why are they buying? And why are they buying a receiver that's like the fifth receiver on the worst team in the NFL? I don't have an answer. But I do think that if you moved the trade deadline back a week or two, you would have a pretty good portion of teams that are either on the fence or buyers turn into sellers. And I think it would benefit the teams that are going for it a little bit more. And look, that it's been lightly in the discussion. We'll see if it gets any traction down the road. Let's go back to the phones and catch back up. Jordan has called back in on line three to try and chat a little bit. What's up, Jordan?
No, this is a different one. I'm not the same one.
Oh, well, my bad. I wasn't sure which one. I just assumed.
I just want to, it's a disgrace to me. Come on. I mean, we can't find no team to dance with out there. And all the talk all for a whole month, we was going, you know, we were in on somebody, whether it was a rusher or a linebacker, because I think we need linebacker help, tell you the truth. But it's just like, you know, we fold. We didn't do nothing, absolute nothing. It seemed like we was more after going after the bird lady than anything. I mean, come on, man. You know, so that's what I got to say on it.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. There's pure frustration. There's no denying it. There's a large portion of the fan base that is upset that the Falcons didn't do something that you would consider trying to improve. Oh, don't tell me the other one's calling in now. We'll get to that. We'll figure that out. But there is a large portion of the fan base that is upset, and I think rightfully so. Here's the thing, though. Like, it can't just be do something, right? Like, because you wouldn't be sitting here defending Check's notes, Preston Smith. Like, we're not getting hype and saying we're contenders now with Preston Smith. How many of you even heard of Preston Smith? Like, Dom's answering phones, and in a moment I'm going to ask him because it's his team that did acquire Preston Smith from the Packers. And you can Getty image search all you want. There's some highlights of him. But, like, that's not moving the needle here either. Dom, hop on once you type that name. You're a Steelers fan. You're the team that acquired Preston Smith. You ever heard of that guy before today?
Yeah, but I'm a football junkie, so yes, I know of him. He's a solid pass rusher. He's a depth piece for us.
Is he moving the needle here in Atlanta? Yeah, the hesitation says it all.
Yeah.
Is Azeez Ojulari moving the needle? Yes. And that's my point. Would Za'Darius Brown have moved the needle? Yes. Za'Darius Brown. Za'Darius Smith from the Browns.
Right.
Those are guys that moved the needles. Preston Smith wasn't going to move the needle. Neither was Khalil Davis, the defensive tackle. Like, those are the D-line / edge rushing pieces that were moved. And so you were kind of stuck. It kind of had to be Ojulari or bust, and unfortunately it was bust. All right. The other Jordan heard the first Jordan disparage the possibility and actually has called back. So let's go out to line four. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good, bro.
Hey, so my you know, obviously frustrating they didn't pick somebody up, but I'm wondering, the only thing since I can make of it is that Judon has been non-existent all year. So I'm wondering if that played into their hesitancy to want to go out and pick, you know, spend draft capital on.
Well, real quick, Jordan.
Jordan,
hold on one sec, because I want you to answer this. Because I would argue two ways, right? You're suggesting that they are, quote, gun-shy because Judon was a big move that necessarily hasn't worked out, and that's fine to feel that way. I would then counter-argue that since it didn't work out the way you need to continue to add, and they didn't do it. So you could kind of go either way with that argument.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would have hoped they would have gotten somebody, but you know, we've proven as an organization we don't know how to draft defensive linemen for 20 years now. So I don't understand that the hesitancy. I'm just trying to make sense of it, trying to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
I think they should have gone out and gotten somebody for sure, but, you know, it's the Falcons. It's hard to make sense of most of what they do.
So. Yeah. No, look, I totally get it, and I appreciate the call. I will stand by this. There's definitely a world where you trade for someone and fans are more upset than if you had just not done anything because that guy's not good enough. Like, that's a real scenario that you – because we did it with the Braves, right? We did – oh, you added a six-inning reliever? That's the best we could do with Ozzie Albies out for 4 months and Austin Riley done for the year? We added – and look, it kind of worked out, and the discussion is what it is. Do you know how many people were like, Gio Urshela is what we added with Austin Riley done for the season? And again, it wasn't a disaster, right? But that didn't exactly reek of going for it either. And there's a world where you trade for some guy that, you know, is the Jonathan Mingo of pass rushers, if you will. And we'll get to him in outside the perimeter. But, like, we do that, and people are like, well, that's not going to help the team. And so they could have gone either way. Now, again, I think there's this fine line between trying to win now and trying to keep a window to win as open as long as possible. And the decision is made that you have to keep the assets to keep that window open on the back end as opposed to part with the assets for what would be a half-year rental and going all in. And I think that's really what it boiled down to. I still would have done it. It's not my call. I might be explaining why the decision was made. I don't mean I agree with it. I didn't listen to all of Dukes and Bell, but I would imagine they're asking questions about, hey, what are we doing here? This is a team that's got a massive lead in the division. Right now, they're a would-be number three seed in the NFC. It would be very easy for the Atlanta Falcons to become at least the number two seed. Because right now, it's the Commanders, and they're going to play the Commanders later in the season. You win that game, and you know who knows how tiebreakers fall. There's a real-world possibility you're the two seed. What would have happened if you had added at the deadline? Hey, look, I don't want to get all overly existential of the future's not promised and, like, why do this? And look, but, like, as my good buddy Casey Stern has made popular in the world of baseball, prospects are cool, parades are cooler, right? We're talking about championship parades. And so, yeah, is it nice to have a second-round pick or a third-round pick? Sure. Be nice to have a Super Bowl ring, too. And so that's, again, I would have made the move. Again, now, we don't know, again, if it was there. I just said again like five times in a row. I realized I did that, and I couldn't stop it myself. I don't know if it was out there to be made. And that's part of what we have to understand is we just don't know what the Giants were realistically open to parting for or with. And that's its own problem.
What would you have been comfortable parting with? For
three. Third-round pick.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, you look like idiots if Za'Darius Smith goes for a fifth and you got to trade a third for a guy that's potentially gone next year.
Yeah.
But I still would have done it. And I agree with our last caller. What are we going to do, draft a pass rusher? Look how well that's gone. Now, I would counter-argue that with we haven't really tried at the top recently. Go back a couple of years, there were a couple of guys at the top of the draft that you tried and it didn't work out. But
yeah, well, Tack McKinley, I think, is right. The last one.
This regime, though, has not tried to draft pass rusher in the first round. Maybe they'd be better at it. Maybe they wouldn't. You almost leave yourself with no choice, though, if this season continues with the worst sacking team in the NFL. All right. The phone lines had filled back up, so we're going to continue this discussion. Andre, yo. Gabe, Kenny, we're going to let you guys react in a couple of minutes when we get back. Hour two coming your way. It is 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon hanging out. If you don't get a chance to call in, feel free to shoot me a tweet /X at Abe Gordon right there. More conversation about inactivity at the deadline on the other side. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. in the Odyssey app.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.